It is always a privilege to be able to share the Word of God as we, as a family, have gathered and I've had a lifetime of service, and I've found that there's really nothing new in the Scripture, but there's always a new take. The Scripture is firm and final and complete. And I want us today to look at something that I believe is very important in our lives, and that is that we hear God's voice. I want to begin with Genesis. This is going to be scary, but Genesis chapter 12. And it's the story of Abram before it was Abraham. And God speaks to him and tells him to go wherever, just go. A number of years ago, a family happened to be at our, drive by our church, and they got out, and the office is across the street, and I wondered what in the world they were doing, so I went over and talked with them, and they were out of money and almost out of gas. And I asked, so where have you come from? We're from Pennsylvania. How do you get from Pennsylvania to Death Valley? Okay, the Trona Church is desert. It's the next valley over. There's two valleys before you get to Death Valley. It's barren. And there's nothing in between. It's just barren. And it says, how did you end up here? And they says, well, we decided we were not going to use the map. We're just going to take a road. And wherever the road would take us. I said, well, what I can do for you is this. I can make sure you have a tank of gas, but I'm going to suggest that you turn around and go back to the last town you were in, because if you go the direction you're going to end up in trouble because it's nothing but barrenness. He says, oh, well, we don't want to follow a map or anything. I says, I'm telling you, for your sake, turn around and go back. And they says, well, we've never done that. I says, well, let this be the first. I'm just telling you, don't go the direction you're going because you're going to end up in trouble. And probably 2 days after that, two gentlemen came to the office, and they says, we're kind of lost. Where are we? And I says, excuse me? We're kind of lost. Well, if they were there, they were lost in more ways than one. But anyway, and they had gotten on the train at the junction, and they fell asleep in the car. And they ended up at one of the plants. And one of the men decided that he needed a drink of water, so there was water there, and he just reached down to get a drink of water. All of the natural water there is brackish water, salt water. Now he's in more struggle because of his physical problems with the salt. And they said, where are we? I asked their story, and they had jumped a train and down in, I think it was in Barstow or someplace where they jumped the train, and they didn't know where they were at. And I says, I suggest go right back to the plant that you just came from, stand out at the road, and hitchhike a truck going your direction. Because I don't have money to take care of you. I'll get you back to that place, but go back to where you came from, to that junction. In pastoral ministry, there's been times when we were given a call to go somewhere, and it was not our last pastor, but the one before that, we went to a town. And when we got there, there were weeds that were taller than Scott at the time. And it was terrible. But we knew that God had called us to that place and to accept that assignment. So when it was time for us to meet with our supervisor, he came, and we went out to lunch, and he came in and said, "Well, let me get my briefcase out of the car." And I thought, well, he's going to talk about how good things were because we'd painted the church, we'd done the things with the landscaping and painted the parsonage and done a lot of things to fix things up. And I thought, well, he's going to get a report of how wonderful things were, and how good we were, how wonderful. Anyway, just kidding. What he did ask is he says, I would like to ask you if you would be interested in going to Trona for probably, we had been, I don't remember how many years, going up to pastor's retreat, and he would come and says, "Well, are you ready for a change? Are you ready to move? No. Are you ready to go somewhere? No. Would you consider going somewhere else? No." So when he came and was asking, "Would you go to Trona?" I said, "No." Well, I did not know that God spoke to Janet, that the supervisor was coming to ask us to take the church in Trona. She didn't tell me that. She's in another room with the boys. And when she heard that and me saying no, it was like, "What?" And the supervisor said, "I would really like for you to pray about it. And I'll call you in a couple of weeks." Well, in a couple of weeks, then the Lord called us to go to Trona. But it was one of those things that just prior to us going, there was a book that something was put out by the district. And here was a lady that had given 25 years as Sunday school superintendent and was retiring. And I thought, oh, isn't that wonderful? Then we found out we're going to Trona and said, she can't do that. I mean, you got all this history that we need someone like that there, but she thought it was time for her to retire. So when all of those things came into my mind and as I was praying for today, and in Genesis chapter 12, now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your," I better read it right here, "get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Go move, and when you get to where you're supposed to be, I will lead you there, and you will know it when you get there." Well, where is there? He didn't tell him what his destination was. He just says, "Get up and get ready and go." It's like that family from Pennsylvania. Get up and go. And I'll let you know when you're at your destination. In Abram's time, there was no maps. There wasn't a whole lot of information. And his travel was going to take him some 1,500 miles. Now that's that's kind of a long distance, but and you just take what you got and go. Leave your family, your father's house, take your possessions, and go, oh, by the way, and take your nephew Lot along with you. Now here is an open door that Abram was not sure where he was going or what he was going to do, but he answered God's call because God spoke to him and said, do this. He had to have a clear, precise word that the Lord says, I will be with you, I will guide you, and I will direct you, but you have to trust me. Trust sometimes is a word that is not used right and is not used often. I used to help in our high school as an athletic trainer. And one of the things was making sure that the boys specifically were in good shape physically for football and that they would strengthen their necks by doing neck exercises, by leaning on one another, and one would catch and one would hold, and they would do these things. And so I thought that would be a wonderful illustration to preach on trust. And so I would have my son come, and I'll use him as an illustrator, as illustration of trust. And so I told him, I said, okay, son, I'm going to catch you. Now we're going to do like you do in football. I will catch you. I'm right behind you. First time he leaned back, he kind of put one foot back, and I says, no, you've got to trust me. So he finally gave that trust and leaned back, and I caught him, and I says, okay, now I need you to trust me again. This time I waited until he got about to my knees, falling backwards, and as I looked down, his eyes were big, like it's because it was cement that he was going to land on. And then he told me, don't ever do that again. But it was he trusted me, and I caught him. But I caught him way after he thought I should have done that. But my trust and his trust were not on the same page. Dads are like that. They, especially preachers, they're the worst. I'm sorry, girls, but they're the worst. Because it's like, are you really going to trust me? No matter what, are you going to trust me? Abram had to be in a position where he said yes to the Lord because it was God's voice. And we need to hear God's voice, and we can hear it in many different ways. We can hear a spoken word. We can be something that the Lord impresses in our heart, a song, visions, dreams, that we can hear God's voice, but we need to hear what God is saying to us and not what the news media is telling us and not what circumstances are telling us. We need to hear precisely what God's voice is. And if we listen for his voice, he will direct us. Sometimes he doesn't give us all the information we want to know, but he gives us everything we need to know. And I've come up with it, and it's not original with me. It was this: if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. If he says it, and I believe it, then the end result is going to be good because it's entrusting in what God is going to do. So it is with Abram. But coming back to you and I today in this world that we're living in, we hear so many things, so many words, so many commentators, so many political stuff that our minds get jumbled about what is truth and what is error? Because some people will tell you whatever they think you want to hear, and it may not be truth at all. And so we're hearing something that clouds everything that we make our decisions upon, because we are people who are a kingdom people. Songs we have sung today again remind us that we're kingdom people. We're not of this world. We're only passing through, and our destination is determined before we ever start on the trip. But God is telling us we have to trust him. Has he called us? Yes, he has. He calls us his children, his sons and his daughters of the Most High King. How better can you get than that? And he says, you're going to have to trust me that I will get you to your destination. So when is that going to take place? I know. You say, how do you know? Because I know that we're one day closer than we've ever been before. We've never been this close to that destination. And that's the second coming of the Lord. It's coming. Are you sure? Yes, I am. How do you know? It tells me so. He said it. I believe it. It's done. But listen to the seven things that God tells Abram that's going to happen. Verse number 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow, how much better can you get than that? But there's seven promises that God told him that was going to take place. And it's this, God says, I will do this. You're nothing now, and look what I'm going to do for you. Now, this is an internal joke that happened at a conference. We had been to an international convention, I forget where it was on that occasion, but we were standing at the elevator. And because there is, at glancing, a similarity between myself and Jack Hayford, someone says, Jack's using the regular elevator with everybody else. I looked around and said, well, where is he? And then got on the elevator, and it's Jack Hayford. No, he's tall. And I'm better looking. But it's so interesting because people had, at that particular conference, had gotten us mixed up. I don't know how that happened because we're not that similar. And besides that, he is not alive anymore, so we don't have to worry about all those comparisons anymore. Praise the Lord for that. Anyway, the promises that God says, and I will do this, at this particular point in time, Abram, not Abraham yet, but Abram, had no identity other than he was his father's son. He had possessions. He had everything but a son or a child by Sarah, his wife. And for God to say, you're going to be a great nation, you're going to be, and he said, how that I don't have an offspring. We don't see anywhere in Scripture where Abram questioned God at all. Said, are you kidding me? You're sending me somewhere, and how am I going to get there? I'll lead you. Where? Just trust me. We don't find Abram having any of those questions. God said it, he believed it, and he got everything up and moved and started out. Not knowing where he was going. But he was willing to trust God. He was willing to trust him that he was going to give him a word that was going to make a difference in everything. And when God speaks, we must listen. Periodically, we get, here in the congregation, we get words from the Lord an interpretation or a word of encouragement or a prophecy. We hear words and we hear them, but do we really hear them? Do we really hear them? There are words that are spoken, but do we really hear, and then respond. And I'm one of those guys that I end up more concerned about everybody else than myself. So when words are spoken, I find myself thinking, well, now who's that for? Who's that for? Who's that for? And to get another conference, somebody says, I've got a word for you, and pointed. And I'm looking at the guy over here and the people over here, and I'm looking to see who he's pointing at, and he says, you. No, you. Oh, I can't tell you what that word was because I was had to come back and write it down to find out what it was that God was saying. And it was a word of encouragement that God's not through with us yet. If he was, I wouldn't be here. I would be with Jack in God's presence. And, you know, it's one of those things that I have a lot of questions. I like to have a lot of knowledge about where I'm going and how I'm going to get there. Looking at maps and charting our course. And when we would go to convention or something like that, we would plan way ahead of where we were going to stay and how we were going to get there, what airlines we were going to take, and how we would coordinate all of those things to get to where we needed to be. And because I like to have things planned out. I like to, I'm a charter. I chart things. I don't charter. I make charts. And I have in my folders that in our church, I tracked everything. Every week I would make a graph of where, how many were in Sunday school, morning worship, crusaders, evening service, midweek. Although I had that charted, and at our business meetings for the church, I'd put all these charts up and all of these things and say, look at where we're at, look how much better we are than we were last year. And then I found that every 2 years were how you could just put the charts back to back, and they were similar highs and lows in a two-year cycle. And I thought, boy, this is great. I've got all these charts. I've got all of this stuff. And it keeps me busy and keeps me out of trouble, sort of. And I have all of this. And no one cared. They weren't really too impressed with it because they didn't need to know all that. They were not. They're just glad that somebody was there and somebody preached and then they sang and we had a good time of fellowship and we had potlucks and we had fellowship and potlucks and we would get together for worship and we would have a potluck and like every month we had a potluck and it was just one of the things that we did. And And they could hardly wait. Is this the week? Is this the week? You know, but we all like to have all of that knowledge, but Abram didn't. And he didn't even question God. That's what really surprises me, because you know, there's a guy by the name of Jonah, in the book of Judges, that God called him to do something, and he says, not on your life. I'm going the other direction. And he ended up in the mouth of a big fish. For 3 days he was there. And nights too, yes. And got pushed up onto the sand of the seashore and went to the place he was supposed to go. Everybody in the town got saved. And he got mad at God because he didn't destroy him. Because God was wanting to save this city, and he didn't want to go there because they were a bunch of rednecks. So he went the other direction. And then there's a guy by the name of Gideon who questioned God when God told him something. He says, will you make a fleece out here? I'll put it out and make sure it's dry and the ground around it is wet. Went out the next morning, that's what happened. And he said, Lord, please be patient with me, but if this is really you, reverse that. And so the next morning he went out and it had been reversed. And he still was questioning whether he really was being spoken to by God to do something. We like to have as much information as possible about any given situation. We like to analyze things. Well, maybe not you. We like to analyze what are the ramifications. If I go, this is what will happen. And we were at a conference just Friday night that all of the information says it was going to be from 6 to 8 in Arroyo Grande. And we get there and find out that that at 8 o'clock was where they were going to take a break before the second session, which was going to be another hour. And we had not known that there was going to be that. So we did not make a preparation to stay overnight, but to come back home. And all of a sudden I realized I had left all my medication at home. I didn't take that, which I have to have. And by the time we would get home, it was going to be rather late. And when the sun goes down, my eyelids go down. And it's just, you know, that's what happens when you get old. Let me tell you, that's what happens when you get old. Not me, but you. Except for I do it before sundown anyway. So by the time we got home, it was like, man, it was a good conference. You know, so some of the good pastors we know were there, but what I had planned and what they had given us information was not the same thing. Except for they knew it was different. Somehow, all of the information I have did not make that change. I know I'm overworking this thing about having information. But we like to know things. But when God makes some promises, such as he made here, the seven things of what God said, I will do. And remember, if God says it, you can count on it. If God says, I will do something, you can count that that's going to happen. Maybe not the way you want, how you want, and at your time frame, but God is going to complete his work. And sometimes it takes a lot of twists and turns that we were not sure of. Abram went 1,500 miles through the wilderness with his family, with all of their animals, and if you read the Old Testament, you wonder why they have all of these cattle and sheep and ox and bulls and donkeys and camels and all of those things. When you start reading the scripture, if you happen to read the book of Leviticus, of all of the sacrifices that they had to have and that they had to make, they had to have a great number of sheep and goats and bulls. Everything, there had to be two of these, four of those, seven of these, and for sacrifices because of your sin offering and your peace offering and all of those other things that was going, you had to have all of these animals so that you would be able to have the sacrifice for the season and for the sin and for the all of those things. And I just finished reading Leviticus. That's why it's in my mind that It wasn't just Abram and a few people. There was, I think, 70-some in his family that he took with him. 73, I believe the number is. And so there was it wasn't just like two of them getting in the car and driving down the street. They had, there's a lot of people and things to work and get them going all in the same direction. And when I look and see what in the declaration in verse number 5, I'm sorry, it was verse number 4. It just simply says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." He was obedient to what God had called him to do. And he took his family and his wife, his possessions, and did as the Lord had asked him to do. He didn't ask how long it was going to take. Most of us will like to have a time frame. Again, I think of so many questions I wrote down, the things that I would have asked, but they're only things that are in my mind and that have to do with me. And so, and then basically God is saying, and when you get there to your destination, I'll let you know. That doesn't give you a whole lot of confidence that, okay, this is going to turn out good. But God, if God said it, remember, if God said it, it's going to happen. Just as he said it would. Then I want to, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, I'm almost done. Praise the Lord, you say. Hebrews is in here somewhere. There it is. And in verse number 8 of chapter 11, by faith Abraham obeyed when it was called to go out to the place which he had received as an inheritance, and he went out and not knowing where he was going, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob and their heirs with him at the same time. It happened just as God told him, but he went out by faith. And look what happened. He ends up in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, again, listing all of those people of faith, and that he went out not knowing where he was going, but went and followed what God said, and again responded just as God had told him to. For all of us, we need to know that we are available to God for him to speak a word of encouragement, of direction, of correction, of blessing, and that his desire, God's desire, is to commune with us as it was with Abram. He wants to talk to us. He desires to have communication with us. He wants us to walk in obedience to him. He wants for us to look to him for all the things that are necessary and needful. He wants us to walk in obedience. Will you follow me? Will you trust me? will you give me everything that you've got? Everything. Did you know what happens? We have a lot of things. I have a lot of books. I just have a lot of them. I have over 1,700 volumes in my library that came with me, and it keeps growing. And I just had a birthday just last week and a couple weeks ago, and I got some money that's going to go to buy some more books. Because one of them was to buy a book. Here's some money for a book. Well, okay, then if you get one, you might as well get two because shipping's free. If you get so many, and if you do it right, then you get more books, and then your shipping is less, and you can bundle them together, and it gets better all the time. And so instead of two books, you got six, and a six is good, ten's better because that's a round number. Then it's, okay, where are you going to put them on your bookcase because you're running out of bookcase room for books because you keep getting books to fill in the spaces. But God is the God of supply. He's the God of love to us. And today we have the privilege of receiving communion. It is such an important task, and I call it a task because it's part of the work of ministry. And the task of making sure that as we come before the Lord in communion, that we have a pure heart, we have a clear mind, that we want to hear a word from the Lord as we take of the elements of the bread and the cup. And every time we have communion, it reminds me of some of the things that are physical that we can understand. The blood of Jesus Christ, the scripture says, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And it's our dialysis that cleanses our blood. I have a pastor friend that had to go through dialysis three times a week. And every time he went for dialysis, he ended up losing about 4 pounds because of all of the debris in his blood that his body was not taking care of eliminating. And every time I come to communion, I remember my friend and all the things he had to go through. But Jesus did that all for us. He was broken so that we could be healed. He was taken all of the stuff out so that we could be pure. And I would ask right now, if you would just bow your heads with me for just a few moments. Lord, we come before you today and pausing before the communion table, the elements that are before us that are the bread that is broken, the juice that we represent your blood that cleanses us. And we do it, Lord, not out of tradition, not out of ritual, not out of compulsion, but we come, Lord, willingly before you to receive all that you have for us. And Lord, we know that there is no good gift that you would withhold from us. And so, Lord, today, as we prepare ourselves, that if there's anything that we need forgiven, areas of our life that need to be straightened out, things that are going on that we don't have the answers for. And you're asking us to trust you. And sometimes, Lord, we get confused. But we want to hear clearly and precisely from you. Cleanse us from the inside out. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.